Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It is Thursday, the 15th of May, 2025, and this is program number 1371 of the lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, in addition to radio, 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website. That is rcistlucia, rcistlucia.com. We can also be found there. We're streaming live as well. You can get our previous programs in podcast form on our website. You can also get us at Facebook, and we're streaming live there as well. And you just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International on Facebook. And please be sure to like and share that as well with your friends and family. If you'd like to call in to make a contribution to tell us what's on your plates today, the number to do so is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. You can also reach us on our WhatsApp platform, and that is 724-0008. Again, 724-0008. Now, some history for today. We go back to the year 1252, and Pope Innocent IV issued the papal bull Ad Extirpanda, which authorized but also limited the torture of heretics in the medieval Inquisition. In the year 1618, German astronomer Johannes Kepler discovered the third of his three planetary laws. This one was called the harmonic law. In the year 1841, the first emigrant wagon train to reach California left Independence, Missouri, on a 1,730-mile journey over the Sierra Nevada. 1869, on this day, a National Woman Suffrage Association formed in New York, founded by Suzanne B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. 1940, on this day, for those of you who love your fast food, Richard and Morris McDonald opened the first McDonald's restaurant in San Bernardino, California. 1951, on this day, May the 15th, AT&T became the first U.S. corporation to have 1 million stockholders after young car salesman Brady Denton purchased 7 shares worth $1,078. And in 1988, on this day, the Soviet Union, it was still around then, began withdrawing its 115,000 troops from Afghanistan. We now head across to our dish of the day. The daily dish is brought to the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
Want tiles for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need tiles for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big tiles with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Did all kind of tiles. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also got glassware and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, you Grozy Lanes, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program for today. And we do hope that you're having a very blessed Thursday. And of course, we also want to wish well to all the parents who had students in the second day of the Caribbean Primary Exit Assessment examinations that were happening all around St. Lucia and many different centers. Secondary schools generally play that role for nearly 2,000 students. And of course, we wish them very well in those examinations. Of course, we also have ongoing right now the matter of CXC, what is now known as CSEC, the Caribbean Secondary Education Examinations. And, of course, that is ongoing, as well as the CAPE examinations for what were traditionally known as your A-levels. Those are ongoing as well. Tomorrow is actually, I think, CSEC history that students are going to be sitting around the island. Unfortunately, the numbers of students actually doing history at that level right now have been dropping and dropping and dropping. And not too sure what the exact number is. I will try to get it out of the Economic and Social Review for 2024 to just give you a sense of where that figure is at. But usually, I think it's less than 10% now of the total number of students who are actually picking up that subject for CXE. And of course, it would stand to reason that even a fewer number is actually doing it further up up the line for their A-levels or their CAPE programs. And so it's important because, in fact, the government has indicated that there is a need to try to expand the understanding of culture and heritage, and in particular that of where we came from, who we are, what made us who we are today as a society. And, you know, even sometimes we think of traditions such as Carnival, and we think especially that, you know, these were traditions that had some resonance amongst the French Creole settlers across the Caribbean. And quite often we think of, when we think of Carnival, we tend to think of Trinidad and Tobago. And funny enough, of course, Trinidad and Tobago was fairly late in coming as a colony influenced by what were known as the émigrés, or the French Creole individuals who largely came from other islands in the Caribbean at that time, particularly that of Haiti, as well as Martinique, as well as Saint Lucia and Guadeloupe. And I think back in, was it 1793 or thereabouts, there was what was known as, and I should have also mentioned Grenada, because in fact, the gentleman who was influential in making it all happen was actually a Grenadian planter, French Creole planter, who convinced the Spanish authorities to allow for emigration of French Catholics to Trinidad and Tobago. To Trinidad, sorry. Tobago is not quite yet. It's treated as a separate colony. And that happened somewhere starting around the 1790s. And so this was known as the Cedula, that agreement allowing, because of course Spain was a Spanish Catholic country, and then you had the French who seemed to have had some affinity to them in that regard. And so they made this arrangement. And in fact, you saw a number of these emigres coming out of that period of instability within the French Antilles, the colonies, which of course was in the first instance driven by the French Revolution, and then of course by a number of other revolutions which took root here in St. Lucia, as well as all across the French Antilles, as well as, of course, the most successful of all of these revolutions, that of Haiti, or what was then known as the colony of Saint-Domingue. And that started off in August of 1791. And it was driven in part because of a lot of different factors, but it was the largest of the French colonies at that time. It was the most prosperous by virtue of the extent of the estates, the plantation system, which was very, very much entrenched all across Haiti. And although Haiti made up just a third of the island of Hispaniola, it was the most prosperous third. The French were far better in creating a system of exploitation and extraction than the eastern half of the island, which was largely, one could say, used for cattle ranching and to some degree, yes, sugar as well, but not to the extent of Saint-Domingue. And the unfortunate reality was that this was being driven by slave labor, and it was being done so under very harsh conditions, to the extent that it was seen to be easier for these enslavers to in fact continue to just repopulate the population, because the treatment was so harsh, people were dying off so quickly, that in fact they had to have this continuous replenishment of and growth in the numbers. And as a result of that, it remained a relatively African space, in that many of those individuals were not being creolized to the extent as we saw in some of the other islands, which of course also had their own revolutionary fights as well. But that aspect, of course, has been pointed out as being a major factor in Haiti. And of course, the religious setting there, of course, we know that there was a fair degree of use of use of religion to try to placate the enslaved individuals. I mean, some people have been speaking about, you know, in the United States, they even developed what is known as a slave Bible, with certain aspects of the religion or the verses extracted to ensure that it did not give justification to rebellion and disobedience and freedom fighting, which was certainly a major theme all across biblical texts. So here you had, of course, the success of that revolution in the case of Haiti. Of course, it took a long time and many different actors, the likes of Toussaint Louverture, who seemed to have been a mercurial character in that he moved from one side to the other. At one point he was supporting, he believed that he was a French Republican. At one point then he became a Spanish fighter for the Spaniards, and then he decided to break ties with them, and then decided, look, you know, he's going to fight France now fully. Eventually, unfortunately, his tale is a sad one, in that he ends up being sent away out of Haiti and dying in a French jail. And of course, there were others who took up arms later on. The likes are very famously the very ruthless Dessalines, who in fact was the individual who managed to bring in to form the Haitian Republic, and recognizing that, you know, he's no longer going to have he had a very strong disposition that and hatred for the French because of that, the treatment, and it was specifically regarding the French. He made distinction in that regard, because even when there were persons who came from Poland, in fact, there were Polish who were brought in by the French as mercenaries, and they were treated differently because they, in fact, abandoned the French as well. And so he definitely was quite harsh in terms of his treatment of the French, and ensuring that he wanted to expunge that aspect of them. And of course, the very famously, the tricolor was split, and he took out the white in the flag and put it back together, the blue and the red. And so, of course, it was very, very telling. And so when we look at Haiti today, we think of, unfortunately, of one of the world's poorest states by virtue of GDP per capita. And we quite often miss the amazing resilience and success and perseverance and influence that Haiti has had on the Caribbean, on the New World in its totality. And so when we think about right now, we just came off the period of the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival, and we talk about jazz, you know, quite often we think about jazz being something out of New Orleans, something out of Louisiana. Yes, it did have, you know, connections there. But what we seem to miss is that Louisiana, in as much as it was, is now a U.S. state, was a very, very different place, right, back in the 1700s. And of course, it was a very different place even at that time. And there were very, very strong connections between Saint-Domingue, which is now Haiti, and of course, and Louisiana and New Orleans, which is a major port of call. And so even with the independence of Haiti, that influence continued. And so there was a back and forth of people moving between the islands and the what would have then been the sort of quote unquote the French French America, right? That large swath of land that spans from Louisiana all the way up the Grand Mississippi River, you know, taking in all these states up to Missouri, up into Illinois, and all the lands even to the west of that as well. So during that time, it was still very much a French part of considered part of France, right? And then, of course, what we also know is that as a result of the loss of its colonies in the Caribbean, that led to a clear economic challenge and demise for France at that time. And in comes, of course, the individual we now know as Napoleon Bonaparte, who we also know as an individual who married a one Rose Taché de la Pagerie, who was also a Creole that came from the islands and believed to have been born at Pébouche in Babono. And although at that time it would have probably considered a quarter of Castries, it was just on the border between Castries, Dauphin, and Groseillers. And of course, eventually marrying a very well-to-do gentleman by the name of Bourronnais, who eventually got executed within the French Revolutionary period. She managed to escape that period with her head on and went on to, in fact, marry the individual who became the most influential person perhaps in French history, Napoleon Bonaparte. And of course, there are suggestions even within that mix that, you know, she was, even though she may have been coming from St. Lucia and Martinique, of course, the Martinicans claim her, Josephine, as she would have been called by Mr. Bonaparte, seemed to have not necessarily supported the cause of liberté, égalité, fraternité. And of course, we do know that later on, Napoleon himself reinstituted slavery in the colonies that they still possessed in the Caribbean. And of course, as a result of the loss, however, of Haiti, they were able to get back a few of the other colonies, Martinique and Guadeloupe in particular, very vital for them economically. But lost Haiti. And as a result of losing Haiti, or Haiti becoming independent, it meant then that they had to give up territory. And they were looking for money. They were looking for ways to fund the treasury, the French treasury. And so they, in fact, eventually sold a vast swath of land, all of it known as Louisiana at that time, to the up-and-coming United States of America. And of course, the United States, which started off as these 13 colonies on the Atlantic coast, was looking to expand, was looking to conquer new lands, was looking to gain more territory. And they took up that opportunity for a very bargain price, I think of $17 million at the time or whatnot, off the hands of the French. And so was born that great expansion of the United States to the West. And but it's instructive because the influence of the Mississippi River, the influence of that great conduit for trade, meant that a lot of the people who first settled in areas that we now consider to be very much part of the United States were actually from Haiti. And they were from via New Orleans. And of course, even the one of the first founders, the first person who lived in the region of what is now Chicago, was actually a Haitian gentleman, believed to have been born in Haiti, as far as the stories go, and I think there's evidence of it. Dusab, I think, is his name. And he was, in fact, an extract of Haiti as well. So it is, of course, quite remarkable that we fast forward now to today, into this current era, and we, in fact, have just recently been seeing this last week a new pope being elected to head the 1.2, 1.3 billion Catholics around the world, now a resident of the Vatican, now serving in that capacity. And of course, the first thing we were told was that he is a Chicagoan. He is from Illinois. He is an American bishop. But of course, his story is so much more intertwined and really shows the nature of the milieu, the multiculturalism that really underpins the United States of America. And the reality is as well that on one side of his family, in fact, when his name was announced and people heard the name Prevost, right, they thought, lots of people in Louisiana and New Orleans thought, whoa, this guy has to be from New Orleans. This guy has to have connections out of New Orleans because it's a very well-known French family name in New Orleans and in Louisiana. And even right there in St. Lucia, although it's interesting because the name, we've got a name of a place called Prevost Park. And that is an interesting association, which comes out of that very same period of revolution, but from the other end. And that's because of a gentleman by the name of George Prevost, or George Prevost. And he, in fact, was on the British side. He was a British army officer and, in fact, served as a governor, an administrator, or a lieutenant governor, if you like, of St. Lucia between 1798 and 1802. And later on, in fact, he went on to serve in Dominica, but he was also known as an individual who actually fought for the defense of Canada, which, remember, was still a British colony at that time. And very interestingly, he, in fact, was an extract not of the United Kingdom, as we might think, but he actually was born in what was then one of the colonies of Britain, in New Jersey. And so coming on, and of course he had a French name, and quite likely he may very well have had French connections coming through maybe a similar way. In fact, one of the reasons why he was known to have been chosen to serve by the British as the lieutenant governor in St. Lucia and then later on in Dominica was because he was fluent in French. And so, in fact, on the Mon, one of the batteries which had eventually been taken from the freedom fighters back in 1796, he was part of that struggle of conquest under Abercrombie and John Moore to reclaim the island for the British and to reinstate slavery at that time in 1796. And so that's where we get an association of that Prevost Park is, or Prevost Battery, right there at the entrance of Mont Fortune, at the entrance of South Louis Community College, in that vicinity. Lovely, nice little Green Park up there. At one point, in fact, ironically enough, it was supposed to have been potentially named as a National Heroes Park, but that hasn't come to pass either way. But of course, then the association now of a new pope actually having Creole roots and having ancestry coming out of black Creole families in New Orleans, and then coming out even further back out of that of Haiti, is certainly a very telling story and a very telling message that certainly we need to look at in terms of perhaps even his understanding of the world as we know it. And certainly yesterday I was actually attending a funeral service for the late Dr. Gemma Cherry, 48 years old and gone too soon, and a very fiery advocate as well for the good cause in healthcare. And the priest, the celebrant father, Setout, was making the point that just 10 years ago, the current pope was high up in the Andes Mountains, in Inca territory, in the land that was conquered by, you know, famously the Spanish conquistador Francisco Pizarro, you know, that great South American empire, Incan empire, which unfortunately now is a place where still persists so much poverty. And he was actually a missionary, an Augustinian missionary, working out in up in the mountains. And 10 years on, he's now the pope, right? And he's now had to relocate, and he's now had to, you know, and in fact, not even just that, he was in fact asking, you know, for permission to go back even before, of course, the demise of Pope Francis, looking to seek if he could go back to his way of service and missionary. So it really is important to note that we never know the stories and the connections that exist, and that said, it is so much even more important to realize the humanity that exists in each and every one of us, and the importance of maintaining that matter of dignity and respect for every human being. That's our dish of the day, and it was a bit of a long one. Our apologies. We'll be right back to take in our weather report.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus. Satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A+. Need all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gas, and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down to my nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses, you Groselets, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Test Plus.
Spaces and ground. Everything you need to sort the house out. For the best price and the latest style. Take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all at Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile. Think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
For Howard Ward. It's now time for your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Star Talent Bath. The forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours. Winds will be blowing from the east near 20 miles per hour or 31 kilometers per hour with higher gusts near showers. The weather partly cloudy to cloudy at times with scattered showers, which may be heavy in some areas and possible isolated thunderstorms. Also, raise residents and motorists in areas prone to flooding and landslides. Advise you to be vigilant and exercise caution. Also, small craft operators and sea beavers advise you to exercise caution due to locally rough seas. The forecast for the Saturday is partly cloudy to cloudy skies with scattered showers, which may be locally heavy and isolated thunderstorms. The weather summary: moist and unstable conditions associated with a lingering trough system will continue to cause cloudiness, showers, and isolated thunderstorms over the Les Antilles during the next 24 hours. And this was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Star Talent Bath.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Star. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island Star.
Spaces and ground, everything you need is on the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go, oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality price, service choice, it's all at Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewport Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, Island Style.
And welcome back to our program here at the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. We're going to, of course, go to the phone line to take in a few calls. The number to do so is 452-3046. Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
All right.
Hi, good afternoon, caller.
How are you doing? How are your people?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for asking.
That's a nice account on this of this today. Good.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, you said you were a doctor, Sherry's funeral and thing. And you spoke of the dignity, the importance of the dignity and respect for every man. That's great. I love that. But yesterday I was at a funeral. You ever heard of the name Thomas Monroe's? Alias Natty Man Rice?
Thomas Monroe's alias Natty Man Rice? No, unfortunately, no.
Okay.
So you probably have to tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, because, you know, he's like the other extreme. He wasn't a doctor,
mm-hmm.
nor a pope, you know.
Right, uh-huh.
But
I'm sure he made his contribution.
Yeah, he rose to the great heights of humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and peaceful, peace, the man of peace,
mm-hmm.
you know, and serenity, but firm in his beliefs, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the Rastafari faith, you know, standing up
mm-hmm.
in the cause of black dignity,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
You're right.
But, you know, like, we don't hear about these people. No, so that's why I'm putting my little bit there.
Well, we're very much appreciative of you, yeah, to do that. I said we're very much appreciative of you to do that.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it, because I want to go on record of how important he is in our, you know, our journey,
mm-hmm.
you know, as people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cannot leave these kind of people behind, but somehow, in fact, we don't pick up any, even the great ones, we don't record them, much less the small ones. You know, that's just how we are, you know.
Yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
Dead Hero Society. We,
yes.
Yeah, those who come is all. You come, you do your turn, you do whatever you do.
And then you're forgotten within a generation or less.
And they they just discard you and then they forget about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know how we could build a nation like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it is going to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for what gain the youth will really want to seriously serve.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, I'm Khalid?
Yes, no, you're very correct.
We go on and on, we talk about it, and it just goes on, and it continues, and it, you know, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But quickly, Khalid, have you listened at all to that press conference with Ralph Gonzalez?
I only caught a little piece of it. But I have not actually... So I haven't taken up that topic as yet because I have not heard his first statement. I think he made a statement sometime last week.
I heard it in almost its totality. I watched that.
Then I know there was a sort of a response that came from Mr. Gaston Browne, the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda.
I heard that one. I listened to that one.
And then I know there was. I got a little piece of what he said in his press conference. But what I can say, though, is that I've always known that he has maintained a position that he does not support the sale of passports.
Yes.
He has a philosophical
position
that
right?
he does not support it.
That's his position.
And of course, it has also become a political issue in St. Vincent and the Grenadines because I think the opposition has also...
The opposing party wants... I think that's why he's so irate that...
Yes.
You know, it's through, you know, the local politics.
Right.
You know, and but somehow he's doing a scathing attack and saying some things that are implicit and sometimes quite direct, you know, casting aspersions on the other leaders who, you know, for being ill advised and, you know, making all kind of statements like lawyers and accountants corrupt and all kind of things, you know, and I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's why we need to listen to both sides, really,
mm-hmm.
to read the retort of Gaston,
mm-hmm.
Gaston Brown, you know, and I mean, I'm listening to Ralph Gonzalez, you know, and Ralph Gonzalez is really caught up in himself now, like, this man is becoming messianic, or he speaks of he being Hebrew and you know, being he lives in his Bible and you know about God give him strength, extra strength that he win elections and he'll win again. And mm-hmm. you know, I mean, a man has to be proud of who he is and what where he's coming from and what he has achieved and something. But you also have to be humble. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying about we. You know, we as a government, we achieved such a thing. We're still able to achieve growth. We're still able to achieve, in spite of not having that, we never miss out on, paying salaries on time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still have sent our people out to study. I mean, it's noteworthy that you mention these things that you have achieved. You are the most enduring government in the Caribbean. Talk about them things. But let's talk about we, man. Let's say we, man. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Let's remove the I and say we. To me, that makes a big difference, you know, Khalid.
Yes.
Than saying I did this and I have done that and I have done that and I have this. And I, you know, what I eat and what I think and where I go. And I, my brother. So, I mean, I don't know, Ralph. He did it alone, you know. It seems he did it alone. So, I mean, to me, the great leaders would say that we did that. We were able to achieve that in spite of that. These challenges, we refuse to accede to the fact that we must go down the road of selling our passports, which is, one could buy into that. That philosophy is not totally unfounded. There is room for that sort of debate and argument.
Right.
That it's not a wholesome thing to do. It's not that, to me, that's not the issue as much as trying to undermine those who go along that path by aggrandizing yourself because of what your government, the governments of which you have been head of, have achieved, and saying like it's I, the man is a I man now. You know, I, and I'll win next election. And, you know, who knows? I'm a strong man. You know, I might do 150 years, go.
Well, nobody can do that, right? So,
it's taboo to attack him, he feels, because he's the senior man.
He's been blessed with an early start and a long life thus far. I think he's 78.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know,
that's a fact. I mean, we're not that. I know we're not saying that, but I mean, I don't know for you know his colleagues. You know, like have to bow to him because they come and they go. They might go before me, and I'll still be there.
Yeah.
They better attack me. They're playing with fire and they attack me.
I suppose he's been the one, I guess, just trying to think in his shoes a little bit. When you've been around for that length of time and you have seen leaders come and go from the different islands.
Yeah.
He has indeed persisted. He's been around, I think, since, what, 2000?
Eh?
I said he's been around, or was it 1995?
Yeah.
And
he's been leader.
2001. He has been around, 2001. And
he's been the most enduring government.
He's been most enduring. So I guess he feels like he's the old man in the room. He has the cap of wisdom. And he's not afraid to say what he feels. He probably feels he has the right to say whatever he feels like at this point. He's gone. Nothing to lose about it. I do take the point
you
that.
Respect from me for your colleagues.
But you should, yes, of course, he should certainly still appreciate that whether we like it or not.
You can't condescend to disagree with them.
Whether he likes it or not, quite often we're all in it together. If there's something that's going to be done by Canada, chances are. If they're going to put visa restrictions, it's not going to be on just one country alone. They're going to...
We sometimes get
painted with the same brush. We're all in the OECS together.
Didn't we come together and say, let us help out St. Vincent? Eh?
Well, yeah, of course, certainly. During the volcanic eruption.
Why try and undermine people that kind of way because of one issue that you find that might have traction and people might gravitate towards your CIP and your rejection of your local politics. I mean, why do that? Why castigate people like that way? Because that's what Gaston is saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Come on, man. We respect you. We love you. We respect you highly as our senior statesman. We respect your rights.
And, you know, let's face it,
come on, man. Respect us too, man.
All these small islands have gone the route of trying something. Right?
Yeah,
to be able... Some of them went into financial services, right? Barbados was successful in that regard. Of course, Cayman and BVI and some of those very successful as well. Others went into ship registries. So the BVI, I think, has a ship registry. St. Vincent uses that as well to gain revenue.
And you say, well, it's the only one unique that represents, that choose Taiwan... And no CIP. You see, Bahamas have no CIP, but they're not with Taiwan.
They're not with Taiwan. Okay.
Other than him, he and Bahamas alone have no CIP.
Well, I'm not sure what the connection is necessary that differentiates.
No, you're showing how he's unique and he could manage.
Uh-huh.
You know. So, what's the driving force of this St. Vincent economy?
Well, they've been doing very well in terms of tourism, but not in St. Vincent, the mainland, but in the Grenadines. And in fact,
hear that. On another talk show, where they played that thing, somebody called up and said that Ralph don't realize he's not doing passports, but the amount of islands they have sold to rich people.
Well, right. So I was.
You understand?
Well, he has admitted that, eh? So.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember just before the around COVID, he was part of a press conference, and I remember it struck me when he said he's literally just waiting for, I think, 24 alien landholding licenses to be paid for Mustique, right?
Yeah.
And that was going to cover the salaries or whatever.
Exactly.
For the coming 2 months or whatnot.
Yeah, so I mean, clearly,
these
he has options.
He has certain options that yeah.
Can Lucido have little islands to sell like that?
No. So like Bahamas has that option too, right?
Exactly.
They can create these exclaves.
Exactly, my brother.
And they can use
it. So, you in a situation not to have it and still be pretty all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but there's no empathy or sympathy for those who don't have that option like you.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to try something. The other thing is, well, nobody could, like people trying to bully him,
mm-hmm.
you know, into getting on board. Nobody could bully him. Nobody could bully him.
Mm-hmm.
Another caller call and say, but what is he talking about? His memory short. He forget that during the time of COVID. He try and bully the public servants into taking vaccine. And he was willing to fire them if they don't take vaccine. So, you know, so the man says, I ain't bullying, boy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, when you live in glass house, you don't throw stone. You don't throw stone at people. When you throw stone at people, you have to be careful where you're living. And, you know, I think, you know, respect.
Ideally, it would be nice for the Eastern Caribbean to be able to have some common policies on dealing with certain aspects of their development.
Yeah,
we've missed
like
the boat.
They're having to go at each other.
We've missed the boat on too many things, right? Look at, I mean, right now, of course, we're speaking about GPH, right? But about 21 years ago, around 2004, there was an opportunity for all the islands to say, hey, let us increase the cruise passenger head tax. I think from whatever it was, $5 to $10. And then it was, you know, crabs in a barrel. Everybody divide and rule. So the tourism, whatever it was called, the agency up there that handled the cruise tourism thing, they came in and they said, no, well, if you do that, we'll move our ships to this other island or we move our ship. You know, so we have to be able to take some common stances on critical aspects. And we've done it in the past on some issues, whether it's to some, I mean, even in things that we've done it in, like Ectel, not everybody came on board. They tried to do the same with the electricity sector, with Acera. I think only two islands said that they were going to come on board, St. Lucia and Grenada, and it didn't make any sense. St. Vincent said no, they want to control their power. Dominica said the same. Antigua had their own thing doing. You know, so we have
St.
to.
Vincent didn't say nothing. Ralph yeah. said.
Well, maybe so. maybe we need that. That I think is where it is lacking. We still have too much of this. You know, I am the king of my fiefdom, and I am not going to
get that? Any.
I'm in charge of my fiefdom, and I don't want anybody to come, you know, to interfere.
That's what it is, you know?
Yeah, so.
So I could mess with what you're doing, but don't mess with what I'm doing.
But I think at the end of the day, whatever happens to some of us, will probably all of us will be impacted.
Absolutely,
you know that is that our that economic partnership agreement is across the board, right? It's with a number
that
of different.
Much of it.
Yeah, so
let us try and you know.
There has to be cooperation and consensus. Indeed, thanks very much for that point, caller. Take care.
Okay, man.
Cheers. We don't have very much time left, unfortunately, but of course we will get into that to try to share on those that back and forth that seems to be developing. Of course, CIP will without a doubt, continue to be a political issue in our islands, as it has been in all the islands. And the reality is that if there's ever a change in government, I'm pretty certain that we're going to still see CIP persisting because it is all too important in terms of government revenue. Whether it is in St. Vincent, in St. Kitts, whether it's in Antigua, whether it's in Grenada, and of course here in St. Lucia. Let's take a call before we end the program. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom.
Hello.
What's on your plate today? How are you doing, caller?
Not true today because I tried yesterday, but how much time anyway.
Oh, okay. So yes. Not a problem.
Now, yesterday you was talking to the bank, ain't you?
The bank?
Yeah.
Yes, Republic Bank. Yes, Republic Bank Corner. Republic Corner.
And I heard you ask, what goodies they have down there. That means what goodies they have in the bank. And she said is to pay your interest.
Sorry, we missed you. Pay what?
She did reply, is to pay your interest.
Yeah, it's so that you, yes. So you have a bit of a grace, I suppose. That's what they're trying to argue.
Yeah, I have to change this phone. But I'm telling you, if you take a mortgage from the bank, and they ask you what mortgage you want, because they have different mortgages.
Yes.
You have
different amortization plans.
Endowment. You take that mortgage and you finish the mortgage for your house. They give you back a lump sum, but that never happened. Now, you take the best mortgage you can take is part mortgage, part interest, and part mortgage. Loan. So when you pay in that mortgage, you pay in, if it's 200, you pay 100 on interest and 100
on the principal.
The loan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from the day the first payment, you start paying on the loan which you take.
Mm-hmm.
But the bank won't tell you that. The bank won't introduce that to you. The bank will tell you, finish pay your mortgage, the interest. So if you pay the interest, you pay nothing on your loan. You there with me?
I'm with you.
You pay nothing on your loan. And if something happens, God forbid, something happens, you probably pay in 6 months, almost a year. It all the time is interest you pay in because you go for to clear your interest, and that's what the bank, that kind of part interest, part mortgage, the bank won't introduce to you. You have to have people inside that, or people that know that they tell you never pay interest. First, pay part interest, part mortgage, and part loan, the loan you take. Part.
Right.
And there, you'll do well. But they have one thing they call endowment. You don't touch that at all. I listen to you there with she coming next Wednesday.
Well, yes, hopefully we can.
I must tell Mr. George.
Thanks very much, caller, for that one, and we will try to see if we can get some feedback on what the options are in terms of amortizing loans.
And the other one is, when you're taking a mortgage, and sometimes the mortgage you take, you have to you might have you don't know when the mortgage going up, so you try to negotiate of stay put mortgage, that even
a
though
fixed rate.
The government put interest rate up,
yeah,
they won't touch your mortgage,
right?
Because you stay put.
Yes.
Anyway, Mr. to George Wiltok.
Thanks for that very much, caller. Have a good one. Okay. Thanks for the contribution. And, of course, hopefully we can maybe, I'm not sure if we get a feedback on next week, but we will certainly be having on Wednesday's Republic Corner to get in some information. Now, I see the phone lines blinking, but we are unfortunately already over time. So we're going to have to end the program at this point. We'll be back again tomorrow, God willing, for another one. Same time at 1 o'clock. I hope you can join us for that. I'm your host, Calix Short Jr., saying goodbye.